I'd like to ask you about your 10 years when you were president of the American Association of Community Colleges. You moved to Washington, D.C.?
Yes, we did, and had a great run there. I really enjoyed that. That was one of the best jobs I ever had, because I could become an unapologetic advocate for the community college on a nationwide basis. Mm-hmm. And I had one goal in going there. You have to remember, when you're a leader of any organization, you have to hold up the evaluation of your leadership against the times in which you were in. I moved to Washington, D.C. about the same time Ronald Reagan moved to Washington, D.C. And if you remember, they were trying to eliminate the Department of Education, the Secretary of Education. They were trying to cut back on any role of federal government in education of any kind. In fact, Bill Bennett, in submitting his budget, abolished the Perkins Act, any funding for vocational education. So there were tough political times, but it was fun for me. I really enjoyed that, trying to make sure people knew about the role of the community college, the within reach philosophy mm-hmm. of the community college, mm-hmm. and spent a lot of my time there trying to improve the connections that community colleges had on the state and national basis. Connections with the employer community, for example. If you're familiar with Washington, D.C., there's something like 3,000 different associations mm-hmm. representing everything under the sun. Well, there were a lot of associations representing the employer community, National Association of Manufacturers, Alliance for Business, and so forth. Well, I wanted to make sure they knew and understood the role of the community college and the potential of community college could be in helping them with whatever they were doing in the employer community, trying to get a higher level of employee who is better educated and more skillful and so forth. So we tried to improve the connection with the employer community, tried to improve the connection with Congress, I tried to improve the connections with the other associations and the K-12 associations of various kinds. Trying to improve our connection. At that time, when I first went there, we were still a pretty embryonic organization, 1981. And I was there in the decade of 81 to 91. And it was kind of interesting. So much of the national media, like New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, and so forth, didn't have much knowledge about the community college, because most of the writers and people employed were from Ivy League colleges. Mm-hmm. And trying to listen to a cowboy from out in Oregon, in that case I was from California, talk about community colleges was tough. Mm-hmm. Trying to get their ear was difficult. While we were there, I got the editor of USA Today to agree to establish an All-American community college listing. They had an All-American for universities and the All-American professors, but nothing for community colleges. Mm-hmm. So Phi Theta Kappa, which is the national honors group for community colleges, that, by the way, was one of the first clubs I helped start here at Lane, was Phi Theta Kappa, mm-hmm. an honors group. And I still believe strongly in that organization. Well, they've taken over the USA Today All-American, I don't think I have the name quite right, All-American Scholars, mm-hmm. is it? But I know Lane has participated in it every year. Mm-hmm. And then trying to get each state, the community college in each state, to have a state-level All-American Scholars, mm-hmm. and have a reception in the governor's office and so forth. But USA Today picked that up, and the editor became a true believer, and so it's still going on today with the pictures of the students and all of this. You get a terrific bit of information about the diversity of the community college when you look at that. I think they honor 20, mm-hmm. and they're all ages, all ethnic diversity. It's really an interesting group. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of group you wouldn't normally find in an All-American University Scholarship mm-hmm. program. Mm-hmm. But that was my major goal while I was there, was trying to improve our connection. I worked hard at that, tried to improve our publications, so we had a little better historical record of what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a good time. I think we improved the knowledge that people had. While I was there, I started a program called the Tech Prep Associate Degree Program. And this is kind of interesting. I'd written a book called The Neglected Majority, and I went over to the chairman of the House Education and Labor Committee, Bill Ford from Michigan, who knew a little bit about community colleges. And I said, I'll give you this book if you'll read it. I don't want you to pass it to your staff member. I want you to read it. He called me a few days later and said, I want to do that. He said, if you'll write that bill, why, we'll make that tech prep program a part of the Perkins Act.
Hmm.
He said, but you got to go get somebody over on the Senate side to agree, because we have to have both houses. So I went to Mark Hatfield and got him to agree to do that. And so that was, the federal government has been funding the Tech Prep Associate Degree Program now for, well, since 1990, putting $100-110 million a year into that program.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I know you have a program here at Lane, working with a local high school.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an example of something you can do at a national level,
mm-hmm,
that you couldn't do at a local level.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also an example of putting your shoulder to the wheel and getting some people to support it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my 10 years at Washington, D.C. It was just spent every waking hour trying to get people informed about the role and the mission of the community college.
Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned before, but the role, the mission, how do you think that has changed over the years, in the 40 years since Lane, or on a national level also?
Well, one of the problems with the terrific budget crisis, and we're particularly in it right now in the last couple of years, is it's easier to have more part-time faculty. It's easier to have classes with 50 people in them. And it's not easier, it's more cost-effective to do that. You save money doing that. And some of the very programs that are high-cost programs are the ones that get cut in tough budget times. And so I worry about the fact that we might be doing some damage to our mission from the sense of cutting back and offering opportunities for some of the people, particularly in the vocational technical areas. If there's one slogan that I developed while I was in my 10 years in Washington, D.C., it was opportunity with excellence. If there's one really word that describes the community college for me, it's the word opportunity. And we do that in an excellent way. We have to put those two things together. I never will talk about opportunity alone, opportunity with excellence. Because we have to remember that we're preaching to a choir out there that don't think of us often as excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But providing, once we start cutting off opportunity for people, raising the tuition where people can't afford it, cutting programs so people, we don't meet the needs of people, having classes at times when people can't meet, cutting off a lot of the evening programs and that kind of, and that's what happens when Central Oregon, where I live, the community college there, because of the budget cuts, cut out their centers, Prineville Center, Sister Center, different center, Madras Center. They almost had to do something because of budget cuts, but that begins to, what do? You begin to pull away opportunity from people, so that now they have to drive to the main campus to get those campuses, where they used to have those classes offered right there in their lone community. They were small, and that always presents a problem when you have too many small classes. That drives the cost up.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had a worry today about community colleges, it would be in that area, cutting off opportunity for people.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other challenges that you think the community colleges might be facing in the future?
Well, funding is a terrific challenge, I was really pleased that Bob Ackerman, who was, by the way, one of the early board members when I was here,
mm-hmm,
stood up in the legislature and defended the community colleges with a great deal of skill, and the legislature did better by community college than probably any other sector of education, primarily because of Bob Ackerman and people like him in the legislature who knew about community college, believed in them, and wanted to maintain the opportunity with excellence kind of approach. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have that, and unfortunately we don't have enough of those kind of leaders in the political scene, whether they be governors or legislators, we don't have enough at the state level and we don't have enough at the federal level. I would walk into congressional offices of various kinds. There was always on the wall their certificate of graduation from the university. Mm-hmm. And I knew that a lot of them had an associate degree from a community college, but they never displayed that on their wall. So I used to ask them, where's your associate degree certificate? Why aren't you putting it on your wall? And I got a lot of them to do that, put them on their wall. But it's not that they don't like community college, it's just an unthinking kind of process where they don't think that much about it. But I think that's another challenge for the community college, is to try to improve the value of the associate degree. I tried to do that with the employer community. I wanted them to say, put in your one ads, associate degree preferred for various kinds of jobs. If there was one of my initiatives that I started that I felt like I didn't do very well on, and that was that I started a program called Associate Degree Preferred, and working with the employer community to try to get them to put into their help wanted ads associate degree preferred, not for all jobs, but for certain classes of jobs. And I couldn't get them to do that. And I couldn't get the community college leadership across the country to go along with me on that in any vigorous kind of way. It just kind of died a slow death. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's a challenge for the community college. I know the college does many more things than offer associate degrees, but the associate degree is one of the things that gives us the right to be called a college. And we need to value that more and build the respect for it and do everything we can to preach it. As I've had high school kids say, oh, I'm not going to go to a community college because that's a place without standards. You know, anybody, what's the old Groucho Marx joke? I wouldn't join a club that would let me in. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of high school kids have that, and a lot of high school faculty have that same idea. Well, the associate degree is a set of standards. We may not have a lot of entry standards, but we certainly have exit standards, and the associate degree is a set of exit standards. And we don't help high school kids and high school faculty understand that set of standards that exist. I think that's a challenge for us.
You had mentioned before, and one thing I wanted to ask you about was your role at Oregon State. You said you had established the Community College Leadership Program. Mm-hmm. And there's also a program, Western Center for Community College Development.
Well, those were both of those who were at Oregon State. And uh-huh. One of the Western Center we started, which I don't think went very well, because we couldn't get the funding for it, uh-huh. was to offer it as a place where people could come and serve as internships, but also be a research-oriented. We have very little research in the community college, not nearly enough research mm-hmm. on the various things that we're doing, and I wanted a place where, in a research-oriented university, where there could be a place where more research could go on, whether that be visiting professors or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And, for example, I had a lady from Tasmania who was assistant director of they call them TAFEs, Technical and Vocational Institutes, mm-hmm. who was followed me around for a year as an intern, mm-hmm. as a part of that program. But I really went there to establish a doctoral program in community college leadership, mm-hmm. A program that would be accessible. We held our classes at Silver Creek Falls, mm-hmm. in the retreat center. Mm-hmm. We'd go on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday once a month. And we had people flying up from Southern California, carloads driving down from the Seattle area, as well as Oregonians, coming to that program. And so there are a lot of those graduates of that program that are now scattered around and beginning to take positions, leadership. Mary Spilde was not in that program, but she was just before it. Mm-hmm. And she's an example of a product mm-hmm. of that program.
Mm-hmm.
But I see more and more people beginning to, they have gone through and gotten their doctorates in that program, taking positions of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But that was what I wanted to do, because I began to worry. Us old timers were beginning to pass away,
mm-hmm.
and at least out of the leadership roles. And so where will the next leaders come from that have the same commitment that I have?
Mm-hmm.
Same commitment that Amo DeBernardis had. He was another leader
mm-hmm.
Portland Community
Portland.
College. And other leaders like that, and I said that we need to have a program where when they walk out that door with their doctorate on their sleeve, that they have a commitment to the within reach philosophy of the community college.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and they're now, Betty Duvall has been leading that program now for the last several years, and I think they're in their 10th or 11th cohort. It usually takes 3 years for most people to go through the program, but I've been so pleased to see various ones that graduated from that program taking positions of leadership. Bill Bell over at Treasure Valley, Gretchen Schutte at Shemeketa, and people like that
mm-hmm.
that are products of that program, which was exactly why I started it. I wanted those people to be in line
mm-hmm.
so that they were ready and prepared to take positions once they came open.
Is there anything else then, as we conclude? Anything else you think we'd like to talk about?
My departé is always better than my repartee.
Yeah.
I'll think about it later.
Okay.
But I think you picked my brain pretty well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.